Since the text of last week's gospel, the level of hostility toward Jesus has increased. And now, in fact, there's a conspiracy to kill him underway. If you were Jesus, what would you do? Well, Jesus kept on with his message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." But he changed his method. He started telling parables where he compared two things. And these comparisons confused some and revealed the kingdom to others. Before today's gospel, usually called the parable of the sower, Jesus is reluctant to speak plainly about being Messiah, and in fact warns the demons who recognize him and those who receive his ministry not to tell anyone about him. After this parable, Jesus capitalizes on these misunderstandings and reveals how profoundly the true messianic kingdom differs from their expectations. Jesus launches into today's gospel without saying what he's talking about. He simply tells the story of a farmer whose scattered seed falls into four different areas: the path, rocky ground, among thorns, and in some good soil. Like those first century listeners, we too might ask, what's this about? Well, we only know what it's about by looking at the text that was left out of today's gospel. To you, it has been given to know the secrets, or the hidden things, or the unobservable workings of the kingdom of heaven. To you has been revealed. So this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. We have three versions of this parable in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. In both Mark and Luke, the sower sows the word of God. So the sower in Matthew cannot be Jesus, because everywhere else in the New Testament, the word of God refers to Jesus. The sower is God the Father. And this means, in terms of the parable, that Jesus as seed has already and literally been sown everywhere in the world, without any earthly cooperation or even consent. This parable and others in chapter 13 and later in this gospel support the view that the kingdom rests entirely in Jesus, on his assertion that in himself, in his death, resurrection, and ascension, whatever is necessary for the fullness of the kingdom has already been accomplished, purely and simply in what he has done. The kingdom is near because Jesus, the Word of God, has already come. Jesus has come for everyone. Jesus came mysteriously like a seed and works like a seed. In the face of hostility, Jesus won't let us go. And in the face of Jesus' love, we must respond. So I'm going to go through those one at a time. Jesus has come for everyone. In the parable of the sowers, there are four sorts of ground, clearly meant to cover all sorts and conditions of human beings. All the ground is covered. There appears to be no gaps. What is not said in this parable is significant also. There is no reference to Israel. So the kingdom is not limited to Israel. There is enough room to let in all the Gentiles in the world. In addition, there is no assurance that Israel would be the only ones included. That Jesus comes for everyone is supported in the parables that follow. In the parable of the weeds, where Jesus simply says, "The field is the world." And in the parable of the net, the kingdom catches all kinds of fish. Jesus has come for everyone. Jesus also came mysteriously like a seed and works like a seed. What first century people and we want is something recognizable and powerful in our Messiah. But the parable tells us that Jesus comes mysteriously like a seed. And think about seeds. They are disproportionately small compared to what they eventually produce. And they disappear. They need to be covered over with the earth to function. They become not only unrecognizable, but undiscoverable in the soil. They simply die and disappear. So what does this say about what we should expect about Jesus, the Word of God? It doesn't look very much. And it's not very recognizable. And to cap it all off, when the Word is sown in the world, he dies, rises, and vanishes. Jesus works as mysteriously as a seed. But mysteriously does not mean virtually. Jesus actually works like a seed. The parable does not start with God the Father looking at seed catalogs or planning where he's going to plant. No, the parable starts with the seed being present. The Word of God is actually present and active in this world. So you might ask, well, what happens to the ones like that fall on the path and are eaten by birds? This Jesus explains in today's gospel by saying that the evil one snatches what is sown in the heart of the listener. Yesterday I was out weeding in my garden, and as the mimosa seedlings in my garden attest, the fact that the birds eat the seeds does not mean that they cannot germinate elsewhere. And they have, in my garden. Other seeds fall on rocky ground, in thorns, or in well-prepared soil. In all these cases, the seed does what it's supposed to do. It germinates. Yes, there are differences in the outcome of the work, but the power of the seed, or the Word of God, works regardless of the soil. And the seed is already actually present and working. In fact, in the face of hostility, Jesus, the seed, will not let us go. The hostility towards and rejection of Jesus finally resulted in his death. End of story? No. The seed dies, rises, and vanishes. The seed is the same whether it is snatched away, rejected, choked out by the cares of the world, or produces a hundredfold. See, the Father has sown the Word of God into the world. And there's no place outside of this world. Everything takes place here. Nothing and nobody will get into the way of the love that has sent to us the Word of God. Nothing interferes with the Word. In fact, the passage in Isaiah says that what God sends out will accomplish its purpose and return to him. The love of God will not let us go. And so, in the face of Jesus' love, we must respond. Jesus, as the Word of God sown into the world, infallibly does what he came to do. And the purpose of the Word coming into the world is to produce people in whom the kingdom will bear fruit. The fruitfulness of the Word is not in question. It is already an accomplished fact. The biggest difference made by responses to the Word is the difference it makes in us. These responses do not decide whether the Word will achieve its purposes, but it does influence whether we will enjoy God's achievement or be in opposition to it. I noticed that there was no judgment in this parable. In the case of the seed that falls among the thorns, for example, it just doesn't bear fruit. For a plant, the failure to bear fruit is not a punishment, but it is an unhappy deviation from what the seed was intended to do. It misses its own fullness, its own maturity, and its own life. So in this parable, Jesus is not prescribing what will happen to us. He is just describing our condition when we fall short and fail to bear fruit. So how do we bear fruit? I'll give you two examples. In John's Gospel, Jesus calls himself the vine and us his branches. The branches are not able to bear fruit unless they abide in the vine, who is Jesus. This means that our job is not to put any obstacles in the way of abiding in Jesus, not to put any obstacles in the way of the work of the seed. Notice that in our parable, fruit happens when the soil does the least to interfere with the seed. In Galatians 5, there is a comparison of the works of the flesh, which is our way of doing things, and the fruits of the Spirit. Turns out that the works of the flesh, our way of doing things ourselves, is hazardous to us. But the fruits of the Spirit are an affirmation of what we are made for. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are not a result of our own efforts, but simply occur when we allow the Word of God, already present, to grow unimpeded under the guidance of the Spirit. And this is truly a gift. So this week, I'm going to invite you and me to pay attention to how you interfere with the Word of God that is already present. And then remember the key message. Get out of the way and let the Word of God bear fruit under the Spirit's guidance. Amen.